Today's gospel comes to us from Mark, the first chapter, and can be found on page 812 of your pew Bible. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Maybe I'm still suffering the after effects of Valentine's Day, but I've had a couple phrases running around in my head lately as I think about this text, and they all kind of have to do with flowers and springtime and that kind of thing. So I invite you to think with me about these couple phrases here. I never promised you a... Excellent. And life is not a bed of roses, yeah. So as I was thinking about today's text, those two sayings were just kind of running around in my head. I guess because today's gospel is kind of tricky in some ways. Jesus is here in the wilderness, and it's a place where often Old Testament people especially would think that God is absent, that God chooses not to be in the wilderness. The people of Israel, when they wandered in the desert for 40 years between coming out of slavery in Egypt before they got to the promised land, oftentimes in that 40 years of wandering, they would say, "Where is God? He brought us out and left us here all by ourselves, and we are just... everything's falling apart and things are going disastrously and we are in trouble." And so ever since then, wilderness has been kind of associated with that questioning of God. And then later on in the Old Testament, when the prophets run into trouble in the towns and villages, and when people are really angry and say, "We don't want to listen to you anymore, we want you to go away, in fact, we'd like even to kill you because we just don't want to hear what you have to say from God," oftentimes the prophets run into the wilderness to escape and to preserve their lives in some sense. And then in the wilderness, in Jesus' time, who's living out in the wilderness? It's the people with leprosy. It's the people who are demon-possessed. It's the people that are kind of kicked out of society because they're not normal and they don't know what to do with them because they don't have ways to treat them medically or other ways. And so those are the people that are in the wilderness, are the people who are kind of God forsaken, are there in the wilderness. So given that connotation of wilderness, it's fascinating that that's where Jesus is in today's text. Because Jesus comes off this wonderful experience. He's been baptized by John the Baptist. The heavens open. This voice comes that says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And does Jesus get to kind of bask in that glory and linger and hear the echoes of that voice? No. Immediately, it says, immediately he is kicked out, pushed out into the wilderness. The Spirit drives him out. And the wilderness is not such a great place to celebrate this high, wonderful event that just happened to you. But there he is, driven out into the wilderness, driven into the place where you wonder if God is really with you or not. And it's this time of testing, not of midterms or not of proficiency exams, but a testing of your call, of your conviction, of your character. It's a testing to see what is in Jesus' heart. And during this time of testing, these 40 days that Jesus is there, he's not there alone. And maybe that's the scary part, is that there are others that are out there with him. And one of the forces that is out there are the wild beasts. And these are not like your stray kitty cat or your stray dog. These are lions and tigers and bears, oh my. These are animals that you would not want to meet, if you were not had protection of a house and that kind of thing. And these wild beasts, of course, are out to eat, right? Because that's what beasts do. And if you can't run very fast, most humans cannot run terribly fast. And if you are vulnerable, guess what? You look like dinner. And so Jesus is contending with these wild beasts. And it's a sign of the loneliness, a sign of the desolation that Jesus is out here without a human village to run to, like from here to Highland to run and get inside the gate and close the door and be safe. Jesus is out here exposed to the elements, exposed to the dangers of being in the desert. But thankfully, there's also the angels who are there with Jesus as well. And the angels who are waiting on him, who are seeking to help Jesus, seeking to preserve his life. And it's a sign of God's presence that the angels are there. In this place that's supposed to be God-forsaken, the angels are there. And I think that's a sign that God's presence is everywhere, even in places that are not really fit for human habitation or not very comfortable for human habitation. And a brief side note, I guess that's where I have a little bit of difficulty. Bob, I know you're quoting from Facebook, and I understand where the person from Facebook was coming from, but at the same time, part of what this reminds us is that there is no place we can go where God is not there. Simply because there isn't public prayer allowed does not mean that God is not present. That's a bit of an overstatement, I would say. So if I were going to write on Facebook, I'd have a discussion with that person. But anyway, that's kind of a side note. But I do think this text kind of reminds us that God is with us always, no matter what the rules are about God, because God does not always pay attention to our human rules, for which we are thankful. So anyway, so Jesus is out here, and this testing continues, not for one day or 2 days, but for 40 days. And that's a long time. That's a long time. And at the end of these 40 days, Jesus emerges from the wilderness, not beaten, not broken, not needing a couple days rest at a spa, but Jesus comes out of this ready to go to work, ready to proclaim the good news, ready to say that, yes, there are forces of evil out there, but they are limited, that Jesus has beaten back this particular battle. He has won, and he is on his way to win the war, on his way to walk in God's footsteps, on his way to follow God through thick and thin until Holy Week and the cross and death come for Jesus. And so I think Jesus needs this time of testing to prove to himself who he is and what he can do, not to brag, but to know your core and know who you are and know what you are capable of withstanding. And so I think these days in the wilderness clarify Jesus' vision and his purpose, and he realizes that he needs God, that he is dependent upon God. We always start out the 40 days of Lent with the story of Jesus' temptation. That's how every year Lent begins. And I think that's a good reminder. It's a good reminder to us because our culture doesn't know what to do with wilderness times. Our culture wants to say that life is a bed of roses, right? That life is perfect and everyone should be happy and thrilled and every single minute of the day should be filled with joy and everything should always be fantastic. And to be honest, I prefer that kind of world, right? Wouldn't that be nice? It would be nice. But that's not the way the world works. You know, and TV crimes are solved in how long? Yeah, 60 minutes or less with commercial breaks, you know. You know, problems are solved in 30 minutes and there's a laugh track that goes along with it and everyone has fun at the end, kind of a thing. You know, people die very gracefully and there's time to say goodbye with nice music in the background and all kinds of, you know, beautiful things. You know, that's not the way my experience of the world is, and I would guess that's not your experience of the way the world is. The real world, you know, our bodies are aging and can't do what we want them to do, and that is not so fun. It's frustrating and problematic and painful at times. Money is not ever exhaustible, right? There's a finite limit to the money we have. We have worries about war, worries about school violence, worries about all kinds of things to be concerned about. And yeah, life is not perfect the way we see it portrayed often in books, in media, all those kind of things. Life is not a bed of roses, I would say. And all of us at one time or another spend time in the wilderness, I think. Very similar to Jesus. And I think those wilderness times, the times when we wonder if God is really there or if God is really real or if God is even God at all, those times are times of testing for us as well, of testing of our character, testing of our calling as a human being. Do we go and try to be a good person or do we just say, oh, and go and do whatever we want or whatever makes us feel good and just forget about other people? Do we continue our calling as a Christian or do we say, nah, done with that, just, you know, it doesn't matter, kind of a thing? It's a test, I think, to see what is in our heart. And I don't think God gives us those tests in particular and says, oh, it's time now for Jane to have, you know, test A and then for Sam to have test B. You know, that's not how it works. But God gives us and the rest of the people on this planet free will. And so we make choices. And sometimes those choices have consequences. And sometimes the consequences are not great, or that somebody else's choices have consequences for us, even though we were just kind of there in the middle of things. You know, it's complicated. But in the midst of that, in the midst of those times of wilderness, it's a reminder to us that, yeah, there are beasts out there. There are forces of evil out there. There's the voice in your own head that says, you are stupid, or you are so dumb, or whatever your voice says, you are so worthless. How could you have done that? Da 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 da. That is a voice, I think, that is not so good to listen to at times. And there are things that make us question and doubt and wonder. And while that could be good, it can also come to the point where it is dangerous for us because we are close to despair and that deep in depression that it gets really scary for people and scary for our own mental health. And there are forces that seek to destroy and to destroy utterly. So in times of wilderness, there are dangerous things that are prowling around out there. But thankfully, there are also angels and also the gift of the Holy Spirit that is with us in those times of wilderness as well. And often though, that comes as people to help, people to wait on us, people to serve us, people who say, hey, can I help? Or hey, what is this like for you? Or, you know, how can I be of help? People who reach out. There is this community of folks to draw strength from and to say, oh, that's right, you had a time when things were really crazy in your life, and how did you get through that? And to gain some wisdom, some knowledge from that. And there are our sacraments as well, to remember that we are baptized, that on the day of our baptism and every day since, that God says to us, you are my child, my beloved, with you I am well pleased, that God's voice is there for us, and that through communion, through Jesus' body, Jesus' blood, we are reminded as we hold in our hands that God promises to be with us now and forever and for always as we take God into our bodies and go out into the world to embody God for others as well, and to be angels and to be spirit-filled for other people who might be in their own time of wilderness as well. So even though every single Lent we start off with the story, I think it's good that we do, because it reminds us, no matter if we're in a time of wilderness now or that time has been passed for many years, but wherever we find ourselves, it's a reminder to us of that even in the worst of times, even in the most dreadful of circumstances, that God promises to be with us and to walk with us each and every day until the circumstances have changed and things are different, and we can see, oh yeah, we're out from underneath that big cloud that seems so oppressing and so overwhelming. And for God's promise to be there, to hang in there with us, we give God our thanks and our praise. Amen.